and drugs, alcohol, wild parties. They try to find something to fill a void. I'm going to tell you right now, if you've got a void, His presence is what you need. It's not drugs. It's not sex. It's not alcohol. It's not the party life. It's the presence of God. When you seek God's presence, He fills the voids. Well, I'm lonely. Let God fill the void until the person who is right for you comes along. So many people are trying to fill the voids. Well, I just got to have a relationship. No, you don't. Multiple relationships lead to multiple broken hearts. I've shared before, I dated a total of 5 girls, all within a year. Period. The last one, I asked her to marry me. But when I say I dated, it means we went out 1, maybe 2 times. She's the only one that ever went beyond a second date. Amen. She's still here almost 30 years later. But I'm telling you, folks, yes, I understand. I was lonely. I'm like, God, what is the deal? Well, I found out that when I got my life, I started trying to get into His, where He wanted me, where He needed me. When I got into that place, then everything came into place. So if that's you today, I want you to hold on to God's presence. You come seek this. Okay? You've heard Angela talk before about, you know, when she came to church and I forget who it was saying, I think it was Rod Parsley's mother maybe, or somebody came to the church over there and said, if you want more of God. Oh, was it? Okay. And she said, I saw you lift your hands, and that's when God told me you were for me. Now, He didn't tell me that, but it was at that point, and she had to hold on, knowing what she had. And I just like, I don't see anything. But I had to continue to fill my life with God's presence, even in rebellion. Folks, I need you to understand, just because some people enter into a rebellious state, it doesn't mean they're rebelling against God. I didn't stop loving God in my rebellion. I hated the system. It was failing me. It was not explaining to me. It wasn't filling the void that they said it would. And I'm here to tell you the only thing that works is getting to press in to know God, to hear His voice. And sometimes you just got to shut the computers down. You got to shut your phone off. You got to just sit. God's stirring in me a message about those who wait upon the Lord. Because I'm wrapping up today on the line I've been on. But I want you to understand, fill your life with His presence. That's all you need. No matter what it is you're chomping at the bit for, you've got to surround your life with His presence. Because only in His presence is there victory. Amen. Well, let's bless the tithe and offering this morning. Whoops. Heavenly Father, we thank You and we praise You for this day. Lord God, we are so grateful for Your mercy and Your love that we come into Your presence and it overwhelms us. It overflows in our lives and it moves the obstacles that were standing in our way. Father, we thank You and praise You that in Your presence there is the fullness of Your joy. And now, Lord, in that fullness of our joy, we present to You our tithe and our offerings. Lord, I bless it now. I pray that You receive it as a sweet aroma. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated and Super Kids are dismissed. Oh. You know, when you set goals to get stuff done, You'll work like a dog, won't you? You're like, I got to get this goal. I got to. We have a goal. Technically June 6th, because we have a graduation party on June 7th. And we've got all this stuff at our house that we're like, okay, we got to get this done. And so we've just been kind of working like dogs. But yet we still got to live in that house. Anybody ever worked and lived in your remodel? It's not fun. And if you've ever had a remodel done, you know that's not fun. But what we're doing, we have to make a mess and then totally clean it up because it's where we live. And, you know, we're just... When we got done last night, Jesse, well, he said something. He said, Dad, you said something about 9 to 5. You know, that's what I told him. I said, until you graduate, I own you two boys 9 to 5 every Saturday. He said, you said something about 9 to 5? And I said, yeah. And, you know, and it was almost 5 at that point, I think. And then Justin said something. He said, it was after 5 o'clock. He said, well, you said 9 to 5, Dad. And I said, the living room's a mess. We've got to put all these tools away now. We got to clean up. We got to keep going. And as I was standing there looking at, you know, it's not exactly a pretty day outside. It is still the day the Lord has made. And while we may sit there and say, oh, just such an awful day. Yesterday was so nice. Friday was gorgeous. And, you know, there's a song I heard. And it says, he sends rain for the roses. Now, while we understand that analogy, the song is about a farmer whose wife was Rose. And he got rained out. And he got sent home. And, you know, and I'm just like, because I'm like, Lord, I am so tired right now. We woke up to the rain and we were looking out the window this morning as we was watching the rain coming down. And I was like, oh, if this just could be Saturday, we could just stay here for a couple more hours. And she's like, yes, but if it was Saturday, we know we'd have to get up and go do something. I said, you know what? You're right. Because while this is technically my job, this is something that I look forward to. This is something that when we come together, it actually brings me joy. It brings an uplifting. Doesn't mean the body doesn't ache any more than it, or any less. Okay, we'll just face that. We both woke up and we said, she's like, oh, I need to take an ibuprofen. I said, yeah, I should have taken some last night and I need some now. And so we were debating on who was getting up to get the ibuprofen. We were just so sore. But I want you to understand something, folks. God sometimes sends the rain for the roses. It's like, if it was such a beautiful day, because, you know, my mind would go, oh, I got all this stuff I can do. I got all this stuff outside. Can't do it. Not happening. You know what today is? Today is a day of rest. Going to put a movie on, and I won't sleep through it, I can promise you that. It's a series I've been kind of in. I've already watched the first two. This is the last one. It's the Maze Runner. I'm like, I don't know why. I just got to watch it. It's like watching sometimes a horrible movie or a horrible rain trick, you know, a rain wreck, train wreck. I'll get it out. But today we're going to finish up on the series we've been going on running the race to win. And this one here wraps up the final two. And Carsey, I'm going to flip those scriptures. So go to the second one first. Exodus verse chapter 20 and verse 15 says, you shall not steal. You shall not take what is not yours. Now, you've heard me say before that if my family is starving and you got apples on your tree, I'm paying you a visit. Let me clarify something here. I'm going to trust God first. I'm going to trust God to provide. Because let me tell you, that is the one thing that I have learned. If there's anything I can tell you for a fact, not because, well, you know, that I've been able to figure out a system and manipulate a system. I'm telling you, trust God in everything. Trust God. You've got to trust that He's going to provide. Your family's hungry? Trust God to provide. He will make a way. He'll either bring you what you need, or He will provide you an opportunity to acquire what you need. Which was always a joke in the Marine Corps. Marines do not steal. We acquire things. And we acquired quite a bit of stuff. Because we had a mission to accomplish, and we had to acquire the stuff to do it. Well, that's stealing. Kinda. We stole from ourselves, so how was it stealing? They always told us, we always had an ink pen. You know, inside those uniforms, there's a little flap right there. It's a double flap, and we always would carry an ink pen. They said a good Marine is never without an ink stick. Problem is, we always kept the same kind of ink pen in there. Skillcraft, property of U.S. government, stamped right on it. So we were always informed we were stealing. And then one day I said, now how can U.S. government steal from or property of U.S. government steal from property of U.S. government? Because I signed a contract that for 4 years I was property of the U.S. government. So I am not stealing from myself. It's mine. Now, the fact that I still have a few of those, I don't think they work anymore, though. They're about 30 years old. But the Bible says we should not steal. Why? Because God wants us to trust Him. He wants us to trust Him to provide us with food, provide us with the things we need. You need a home? Don't go steal a home. Trust Him. Pray. And I'm going to tell you, folks, you got to start with the little things to start believing Him. Start trusting. Well, I'm going to trust God right now for a Mercedes-Benz. Have you trusted God for a Volkswagen yet? Well, no, but I'm going to go for my dreams. Yeah, you're not going to get that Mercedes. They're expensive. I don't care what you got. I got the cheap Mercedes. You can see them all the time. You see people driving around, these Mercedes, Infinities, even Lexus, and a lot of these high-end cars, they lose value so fast. And, you know, next thing you know, you're like, how does my neighbor afford that car? Well, they went to the auction. The car's got 250,000 miles on it. And they paid $2,000 for it. Now, while it could still technically be a better car than, say, a cheap Chevrolet, that's how they afford it. But you notice that when it broke down, they parked it? Because the parts cost a lot of money. I knew a corporal, E4. He drove a BMW 325i. Convertible. And a staff sergeant one day, an E6, said, boy, I'd like to know what you're doing to afford a BMW. And he said, I bought it at auction. Well, that was great, as long as it's running. Because when you got to pay for parts like that, you got to come up with the money to do it because you can't buy them at auction. God wants us to trust Him for our food. He wants us to trust Him for provision. Not figure out how we can get what Josh has. I want that, what Josh has. I want that. Why do you want that? Because Josh has it? Are you greedy? Are you jealous? Well, you've got a problem. God said, thou shalt not covet. You need to deal with that first. Josh has obviously trusted God in those things for that. Well, I want what Harold. I want that thing Harold's got. You got to have to learn to trust God. You're going to have to trust God for what you need. while I'm not going to preach a whole lot of in this line, but there is a song that comes to mind about that. The things you want versus the things you need. You can't always get what you want, but you get what you need. I always wanted this. God, I want this. I want this. I want this Mustang. Why are you sending me a Grand Am? I want this. I want this. I want this car. And finally, he sent me the car. God, I want a minivan. God, I need a minivan. My kids don't fit in the back seat. What I thought I wanted wasn't what I needed. And the one thing that I knew that I really, one thing I always desired to have, but never seemed to get for a while, was a truck. Finally, I started getting trucks. And now I realize I'm a pickup man. I gotta have a truck. I won't be without a truck. I don't care if it is the Fred Sanford Mobile. Y'all remember my 79 Ford? 7 different colors. I had new sign. I had road signs for floorboards. I don't care if it's that. I will have a truck. I gotta have a truck. It's what I like to drive. But you can't covet what other people have. You'll steal it. You'll take what belongs to them. Now, we're going to end up on this one. I don't think I have to go too far on stealing. We got it, right? If you steal from your boss, you're actually stealing from yourself. And the boss is like, you go to your boss, boss, I'd like a pay raise. Man, I wish I could, but man, you know, the office supplies are just killing us. Maybe I ought to take back that carton of Post-its I stole. You don't realize how much that stuff actually costs until you got to go buy it. Well, those pens. Oh, yeah. You want pens? Go to Office Depot and buy you a box of pens. I mean, we give them away. I actually think I actually have a box of those. I don't care for them, but because they're too big around in certain spots. They always send us this stuff. I don't even know what company it is. Amsterdam, yeah. They're cheap pens. I'm not going to lie. I know. Yeah, yay. Yeah, we paid like a penny a piece for those. That's what they're for. They're for giving away. If you want a good pen, go buy it, okay? You want a good pen, go talk to Joe. He'll turn you one. He makes them out of wood. I got one. It's dressed blues. Got a blood stripe on it. All right. So Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you, that your days may be long. This is the first commandment with a promise. Honor your father and mother. Now, this actually has a twofold meaning. One, it does talk about honoring your earthly parents. Now, we know this because Leviticus talks about it, Deuteronomy talks about it. Leviticus says, every one of you should honor his mother and his father. Okay? But this one in particular, it says, honor your father and mother that your days may be long. Why would, upon the land? And this particular last part is mentioned, I think, at least two other times in the Bible for a reason. Because he's talking about Abraham and Sarah. Your mother and father of faith. Okay? Honor them. How do you honor them? By serving God. By being people of faith. By trusting God. They told you how to do it. They taught you. How did they teach you? By their example. They messed up. You know, if you're walking along in a minefield covered in snow and suddenly the tracks stop, what's that tell you? Stop, because they found the mine. You don't continue in that particular area. You go a different direction. That's the way I've tried to live my life. I've known many, many men of God. They've done some great things, and then some of them did some really brain crampy things. And I ain't saying I'm perfect. I'll tell you right now, I probably ticked a few of you off. Means I'm partially doing my job. Just being serious there. Well, you shouldn't tick us off. You're the pastor. I usually find out that if I said something that was from the Word and it made you mad, but it's still from the Word, it means you got convicted. It means I did my job. But God was telling them to honor Abraham and Sarah, their founders of their faith. These Abraham and Sarah, Abraham was the first man ever justified by faith. Now, after they came out of Egypt, there was no justification. They just kind of covered their sins with the blood of a lamb. But Abraham trusted God. God said, get away from your family. Leave your father and mother. Now, if God's telling him to honor your father and mother, why would he tell Abraham to leave his father and his mother? Because back then they had the mentality, well, I got to be here and I got to do this. That's not what he was talking about. He's talking about to live a faith-filled life. Honor them. Honor your parents by living a godly life. I know, am I looking around here? Many folks don't have their parents here to do that, to bring candy or whatever. You honor your parents by honoring Abraham and living by faith. You live a godly life. Again, doesn't mean you're going to be perfect, but it means that you're striving to live more like God. Okay, I want to ask everybody to do one thing for me. Stand up. Everybody, stand up. Raise your hands. Stretch. All right, now sit down. Just had to do that. I could see Sandman going across. He was going across there. And it was, I mean, it was a bunch of people were getting hit. I'm like, I understand. Trust me. If I'm not moving, I'm in your boat. And you know what? That's what we used to do in the Marine Corps. We'd see the people falling asleep, get up, stand up. Now, they always had to slap our neighbor in the back of the head. We can go to that one, but I'm just going to tell you, some neighbors take that so enthusiastically. But if we honor Abraham, by a man of faith, by living our lives by faith, Abraham had no, do you understand? Abraham was a man who came from a world of idolatry. His father was not a godly man. He was an idol worshiper. He was a man pleaser. He did not want, he didn't know anything about God. Abraham knew a little something about God. From everything that I've been able to read, Abraham actually was introduced to God through Shem, his great, great uncle. I forget where he's at in that line. Or grandfather. He was introduced to God through Shem, one of the sons of Noah, who later on would become, who took on the name Melchizedek. Melchizedek was not Jesus Christ reincarnate way back then. That is just such a screwed up theology. That means Jesus came twice. So, yeah, we're just left here hanging out. Yeah, no. Jesus only came once. He was the angel of the Lord at that time. Hadn't taken on flesh. We honor them by serving God. That our days may be long upon the land. You know how I know? Because in Leviticus 19, and I believe it's 13, he said, he talks about that. He says, honor your father and mother. Oh, by the way, don't become idolaters. Don't worship idols. That your days may be long upon the land that the Lord your God is giving you. It's easy to become an idolater. It doesn't matter what land you're in. People will find things to worship. You can either make a stick and worship it. You can take anything and it'll become your God. It'll become your house. You know, even with Angela and I working in our house, there's one thing we keep reminding our kids. Our house is not our God. Yes, right now at the moment, we are looking down. We got the blinders on. We do things we need to do, but June 7th is our cutoff date. We still try to do what we can do, but up until then, our extra time is spent on getting our house finished because that's where we're having the graduation party. Kind of need to have things finished. You know, like handrails on the deck. Those are good things. We replaced the stairs in our house. Anybody who's ever in our house knows that our stairs used to go up like that. They don't do it anymore, but now we don't have a handrail up there. So, you know, I told the boys, we tore that wall out of there, and I said, you know, part of me really wants to just at least screw a 2x4 up there for you. I said, because, you know, if you come out of your bedroom and make a sharp right, you're going to have a rude awakening in a pile upside down at the bottom of the steps. And Justin's already done that once a long time ago. He fell down and he was walking in his sleep. Not a good thing to do. He got woke up real quick. Once I found out he was okay, the laughter started. Everybody, I'm sorry, his brother started it. But we honor God. We want our land to be blessed. We need to honor God. More people need to take the time to come to church, to get together, to stir up love in one another. When we come together as one, we got to start learning this concept. We've got to love our neighbors. We've got to love those around us. We've got to come together as brothers and sisters in the Lord in order to love God. Well, I'm going to love God, but I'm going off grid. You're not loving God. Part of me, there's days I can understand going off grid. Anybody not know what that means? For those of you that don't know, it means cutting society out of your life. That's not God's will. If it was, he'd have said, go to the wilderness. But Jesus said, beware when they say, go to the wilderness. Why? You're not loving people. And if you can't love people, you can't love God. Because the Bible teaches us, how can a man love God whom he has not seen, but yet love and not love his brother who he does? Well, I have a hard time. You got to grow. Social skills are something that need to be developed. And if you've not been in that area, you've got to just put yourself out there. Get out there, get to know people. Not everybody's a bad person. If we listen to the news all the time, all white people are racist and all black people are thugs. That's all we hear, isn't it? But we know it's not the truth. Because I know some white thugs and some black racists. That's all there is to it. Good and bad people are not based upon the color of their skin. So we've got to be around people of other ethnic groups, in order to know they're not bad people. Not every Japanese wanted to overthrow America. As a matter of fact, there were generals who warned the emperor. They warned the emperor. They said, we've been there. You do not want to wake that sleeping giant up. But the emperor was hell-bent on overcoming the United States. And said, forget it. I'm going. And they had warned him. It will end badly. And it did. Not everybody wanted to do it. They were happy with what they were acquiring. And they were a mean regime. They were a wicked regime. You need to understand, the Japanese regime was not just, we're going to keep moving on. They were horrible. Horrible. As bad as the Nazis were, they were the equivalent from the Asian area. They didn't love their neighbors. It was all about conquest. We have got to learn to love each other, to love God. And when we do that, then we're honoring our father and our mother. How do you, and again, going back to the honoring your physical father and mother. There are people that didn't have good relationships with their parents. Some of you are even in here. Joyce Meyer, I was thinking about her the other day, and Angela and I talked about this. Her relation, those you most of you know her story. She was raped by her father for a very long time, and her mother knew it. She has told her story. Well, I think that's just disrespectful to her parents. I'm sorry, you made your decisions. You did what you did. She is now trying to help other people overcome this. You think it doesn't scar people? You think you can say and do whatever you want and it doesn't have an effect on people? The Bible warns us about this thing between our teeth, the tongue. It is a fire that is uncontrollable at times. So we have to learn to tame the tongue. Some people, I just speak my mind. Well, I'm going to get some super glue and super glue your lips shut. Sometimes you need to just shut up. Well, I just speak my mind. I was raised to speak my mind. And you wonder why you're alone. If we spoke our mind all the time, I can promise you, one of us would be sleeping in the barn. And it ain't her. I can promise you. It would be me sleeping with the bats. Because she views them as flying mice. So that's... Yeah, there's mice out there. I saw one the other day. We can't always speak our mind. Sometimes we need to shut up. Sometimes we need to listen. I'm not a perfect father. Far from it. I've made mistakes. I know where I've made mistakes. I've apologized when I recognized right away that I made those mistakes. But I can promise you, I didn't make all the mistakes my father made. And my father didn't make the mistakes his father made. So we got to keep understanding it. We got to keep honoring. Not everybody has a perfect relationship. I dare say at least one time in your life, you're going to butt heads with your parents. Especially if you're standing up for something you believe in. You're going to knock heads. That's all there is to it. You have to understand we're two different people seeing something from two different sides. Raised in two entirely different genres. The generation before me really didn't understand my generation a whole lot. And they definitely don't understand this generation now. And even though I'm raising kids in this generation, I have a hard time understanding this generation. Because it's totally different than my generation and the generation before that. And even before that. So we have a problem doing that. But there's certain things in that we should never stop. And one of them is showing respect and reverence. Because I believe that's one, I don't know if it's Deuteronomy that says to show reverence to your parents, to your mother and your father. To show them reverential treatment. In other words, when they come in, they should be offered one of the best seats in the house. And let me, while I'm on that, if you're anywhere public and a younger person gets up and says, please take my seat, don't stand there and argue with them like a moron. Sit down and say thank you. I can't tell you how many times, by the way, I'm knocking on that other side here. That I've gotten up to give somebody a seat. Oh no, I'll stand. Sit your butt down. I'm trying to show you honor, and by you disrespecting me like that, the little boy that's sitting over there is seeing that he doesn't need to do it anymore. Why do it? They're not going to sit down. I've seen that. Just recently I saw it where this, and I'm sitting on this bus, and I'm like, okay, I'm the second oldest person on this bus. Everybody else was younger than me. And this guy got up. This other older guy got on. And this guy got up and said, here, please take my seat. Nope, I'll stand. I never wanted to stand up and smack a man so hard in my life. He showed you reverence. Take it. It's not a sign of weakness. This is what happens to us. We get to say, well, it's a sign of weakness. Hogwash. I'm going to tell you right now, just because I'm grandpa doesn't mean I'm weak. It has nothing to do with that. Because you know where my strength is? My strength is in my three sons. My strength is in their reverence to me. I can tell you right now, they can take me. And I've told you before, I ain't going to be the only one in the emergency room. I'll bite them too. I'll cheat. They know it. That's why none of them try it. Dad cheats. But I'm going to tell you right now, not a one of them would anything happen. Because they know godly fear. They know respect. They know how to do that. And when they get up, they say, Dad, take my seat. I take their seat. Because they're showing me reverence. We can't show reverence if you won't receive it. And you know, everybody's like, well, I don't like this getting old stuff. Well, it's going to happen. Anybody found a way to stop it other than, you know, quick stop? I don't want the quick stop. I think I'll just keep on going on. I don't want Carter to not understand reverence, to respect. And when we just allow our little children to sit in the best seat of the house, and grandpa or great-grandpa or grandma or great-grandma is standing there, or they're sitting on the most uncomfortable chair in the place, we got a problem. Well, little Johnny don't want to get up and bust little Johnny's butt, and he'll get up. Teach him a little respect if he didn't just jump up. You know what? He gets up. He could sit on Grandpa's lap. Right now, Carter's at the stage where, you know, he last couple days, he's really taken a liking to her. If I get him, he wants Grandma. But if I come around and he wants me, right now at the moment, I know there's the only thing he wants me for. So he can get down. I'm going to stretch out and I'm going to slide down Grandpa's leg. I'm like, you little twerp. I said, I ain't taking you until you want me. You just want to use me as your way to freedom. And then it's not freedom for anybody, is it? No, Carter, get away from those. Get away from those deer antlers, Carter. She's decorated with deer antlers, which I love them. They're kind of pointy. We have to keep that going. Honoring also means you take care of them when they're in their older age, their older years. If they can't do things, step in and do what you can. Let me help, because I know some of you, and I know you're dealing with this. Do what you can, but you can't do everything. Sometimes you got to say, I need help. See, I got five. There's a total of five of us. I did what I could do when my dad had his stroke. Okay? I stayed with him, went up to the hospital, slept on that cold floor, just so my mom could be there. I was 47 years old, sleeping on a concrete floor. I'm going to tell you right now, that's not fun. And it was cold in Toledo. But I did it for him and her. Okay? He got better. God healed him, moved him down here. I've done what I can do. There's four others of you that need to step up. And I've told them when I've had a chance to speak to them. My family, unfortunately, is one of those that just hits the wind. And got a couple that only come around when they need something. Every family's got it, right? But one thing we've determined, that we're not respecting that line anymore. When I say that line of thinking. I've told my boys, you won't act like this. We raised you different. I just want to remind them because it's so easy to slip into. I'm not honoring that line of thinking anymore. I'm honoring my father Abraham. By the way, he had kids that fought too. They still fight today. Ishmael and Isaac. The Arabs and the Jews. But they both do what they do to honor Abraham. Although they ain't quite realize that they're fighting each other. It's not God's will that Isaac fights Ishmael and vice versa. So we have got to honor our fathers and mothers here. We have got to honor our father and mother in the faith. We need to do that. We need to teach our children the same thing. Well, why we got to go to church? To honor God. Well, I don't want to. Ask my boys. I don't want to go. You ain't got a choice. Till you pay the mortgage in this house, till you pay the electric, until you pay, you don't have a choice. Cut and dry. What you do outside is on you. And I pray that you return quickly. Because reality, how many of y'all remember when you did get out on your own? Hey, this looked fun on the other side. It looked fun having my own place. Man, 500 rent. This place ain't worth 100. Electric bill's 300. I only make 1,200 a month. Government took 120 of that. I'm down to a couple hundred. And I still got to pay my car insurance, car bill, gas. You start respecting the things your mom and dad did for you. You start understanding. Sometimes it's reality is a nasty teacher. But if you, listen, if you had parents, I know many of your parents have passed on, you had parents that you found it difficult through whatever relationship, okay? Honor them by serving God greater, okay? That's all I can tell you to do. You got to honor God. And God will help you to honor them. Okay? That's how it'll work. But we have also got, I'm going to wrap up. We have also got to be the kind that can receive that honor. Because I'm going to tell, and I'm going to tell you this, folks. People are trying to force you to honor people that were unhonorable. There's some very dishonorable things people have done, and yet they demand you honor them. Proverbs said, honor to honor a fool is folly. A fool is not worthy of honor. Okay? That's a person who lives their life as if there is no God. You want honor your life as if God is the only thing in this world, because he is. Nobody should love you as much as your parents. Nobody should. I can't imagine. Okay, but I'm telling you, I'm a new generation. I'm a new generation in my family. My family was womanizers, adulterers, thieves, abusive, foul, disgusting people. That's my family. Anybody relate? And I mean foul, disgusting people. They do things that foul, disgusting people wouldn't do. So it makes them even lower. When my parents got saved, they had all that going with them. They had these mindsets, these things that they were battling with, trying to grow through. They did what they could do to raise us out of that, and they did. And I thanked them one day. I said, I thank you for leaving West Virginia. Because if you've ever watched this documentary-type movie called The Wild Whites of West Virginia, I need you to understand, that's what my family came out of. They are rotten people. They are rotten to the core. Okay? And I thanked him. I said, thank you. I know it wasn't easy, but thank you for getting us out of there. I've been raised different. I have a new revelation of who God is. A revelation none of, and I've got some family that have found Christ. Thank God. Praise him for that. But they don't even have the revelation I have, that we have, of who God the Father is. He's a good, good Father. That's what we got to understand. He is a good Father. And the Bible talks about which one of you being a good father would give your children awful things. I'm not saying you don't play, mess around. When I say mess around, I mean you guys kid around. If you can't handle that, then I'm sorry. My dad and I, there was a side of my dad I got to know by working with him as an adult. And that was the prankster, the jokester. I didn't get to know that one. I just knew the one that wanted to kick my butt. I got to know a different dad. Okay? And my kids will attest to this fact. I will kick their butt and joke with them about it. And joke with them. We pull jokes on each other. We cut each other down. Not in mean ways, just in ways that good friends will. Okay? I don't tell them they're worthless. I don't tell them that they're garbage. But we do attack each other's manhood. Every guy in here knows what I'm talking about. Don't think you didn't do it. My generation, we didn't do that. Hogwash, where do you think we learned how to do it? You just use different vernacular. But I've taught my children to honor and to respect. My children stand at the national anthem. They stand. They don't have to be told to stand. They get up there. Sometimes they're standing before I am. Maybe I did something right. I was never taught to stand. I had to learn that. Because respect for my pastor, for my father, for my mother, for the law, for my country, all of that has had to be instilled in me, and I've tried to instill it into my children. The law's not there to cause me problems if I ain't up to no good, now is it? I went to a village council meeting one time and heard a father. I was there for something else, and this father stood up when they opened it up to the public, and he said, listen, he said, my son got pulled over for spinning his tires, and now a cop's camped out in front of my driveway every night, just waiting for my son to come out and do something stupid. He said, that road was wet. You can't spin your tires on a wet road. Okay, how many of you can spin your tires on a wet road? I can do it on a dry road. I'll show you. My anti-lock brakes aren't quite working right now. Boy, is it fun. I just thought, are you so stupid? If the cop is camped out, that's because your son is a moron. By the way, it's a public parking lot across from your house. He told us where he gave where he lived. He's parked in the parking lot. Evidently, it's a good spot to catch speeders. And if your son happens to be one of them, so be it. You can ask my boys. I said, whatever you do on the road, you pay for. You will pay for it. Not me. You get a speeding ticket, you pay for it. You wrecked your car, you pay for it. Joshua was in town years ago, coming home from school where we lived, and the stop sign he was at was 70 feet. He was sitting there in his truck. State trooper went by. Joshua turned, got in the thing. The state trooper turned around, flipped the lights on in our driveway. He was getting for a seatbelt. But the one thing he wanted to know when he ran to tags, he says, "Do you have a weapon in your truck?" And he said, "No." I said, "Are you sure you don't have a weapon in your truck?" And he said, "No, I'm positive." And then it hit Joshua why he was asking him. The truck was registered to me. By the way, he had Marine Corps tags on it, if I remember correctly, at that one. He said, "I'll just give you a warning. Get your seatbelt on." But see, I taught him. He couldn't lie. I mean, didn't have a seatbelt. Didn't have it on. But I taught him to honor the law. You're not going to get anywhere by calling the cop names. Unless you want a body cavity search. I mean, knock yourself out. This happened to be the same trooper that pulled me over the last time. And when he pulled me over, he said, "The reason I'm giving you a ticket today." Even then, I didn't respect. He wasn't my favorite person that day, but I didn't call him names. The name calling came when he left, and my window went up, and my wife's like, "You idiot!" No, she did not. I felt like an idiot. But all I could do is I looked, and I was like, "Well, I don't think I could have got that car up that fast, that short, but thank you, Lord, he didn't get me for passing on a solid double yellow line. He just gave me a speeding ticket." But folks, if we're going to teach respect, we have to learn how to receive it. I don't care how old you think you are. And if there's somebody older than you, get your butt up. "Well, I think that kid ought to." Maybe that kid's never been taught respect. I'm just saying, they need to start seeing it. You know how? You know why they don't? Because we have presidents that don't give respect. We have congressmen and senators. They're being taught not to. So we can say all we want about the past presidents, but up to a certain point, they never tore down the other president that was seated. We have a whole new thing going on. And we think that that's going to let us live long in our land? There's no respect for the flag. There's no respect for those who have fallen. When I went on, I went to a military funeral up in outside Akron for a Marine, and it was a big to do. Just like the young man that passed just recently from Lancaster. I know you saw the pictures of the emergency vehicles holding flags over the overpasses. Well, that's what this was like. I was riding a motorcycle, and the total caravan was probably 5 miles long. It was huge. And all the cars that would pull over, there's no way you didn't know that this was a military processional. And all the cars would pull off the road, and then this one idiot just decided he wasn't going to pull over. And out from, and it was a Marine Corps, the Leathernecks Motorcycle Club that was leading the way. One guy on his Harley got out there and he played chicken with that car. Guess who pulled over? Show a little respect. Pull your car over till the procession has passed. It's not happening anymore. We don't teach respect. We let it off in the house. Your kid back talks you, your kid loses a phone. I ain't saying abuse them. But I remember when I back talked my mom, I got a backhand in the mouth. And there's one thing I hated, and that was being hit in the mouth. Don't slap me in the face. You're okay until you slap me in the face. Ask her, she knows. What'd you just do? Long time ago. One time. But We're not teaching respect. There's a time in life, teachers, you know this to be true as well. You're being blamed because the kids are stupid. Not because the kids go home, they don't do any study, they sit on their computers, they sit on their phones, they play video games, they don't do, or they go and do drugs, or they do everything else but what they're supposed to do. I realize today, computers, you got to have a computer to do some of your work. You got to look, because they don't have Encyclopedia Britannica anymore. Go to Wikipedia, which be very careful. I can add information to Wikipedia. It's not a good source to quote. But you can find out information about different people and different things quicker that way. We're a new society. You know, I know Pat's generation, you went to the library, you got the encyclopedia out. You looked and looked and it's like, are you kidding me? That's all there is to this. Well, there was more information, you just didn't have access to it. Yeah, there's no computers. Now you can access about everything they've got in the Library of Congress. If we teach respect, we teach our teachers, do not let them call you by your first name. That was one thing we told the boys. I said, yeah, you know what? I know you know Morgan, but she is Mrs. Detra. We know you go to school. You know Faye and Joe. They're Mr. and Mrs. Rule. If you call them Joe and Faye here at the church, I don't think they're going to rip your heads off. But at school, you show them a respect. You give them the respect that is due their position. And when you learn that respect and you start teaching that respect down, you've got to start giving it. You've got to start showing it. That's when it happens. But when we just get all defiant and we're not going to show proper respect. Well, hey, Rob, you know, I think, I'm not talking to Rob back there. I'm talking about Judge Rob Hickson. Hey, Rob, you know, I think you ought to let me off. I'll tell you right now, if I was the judge and you called me by my first name, I got a thing for jury duty the other day. You better be careful. I believe in a death penalty. You got one too? So did Joshua. You might be in trouble. There's three of us in here. Oh, four. I ain't had one of... What? She sends them. Oh, I thought you were pointing at Michelle got one. She got one. Yeah, I know Cheryl has to send them out, but she doesn't select us. She sends the stuff out. No. Listen. We've got to teach respect. We teach our children respect. You know, it's the only way it's going to come up. There's a generation that started disrespecting everything. They started disrespecting the flag. They started disrespecting the police. And I ain't saying that everybody's done everything perfect. Far from it. But you cannot just say, whatever, and walk away from it. Anarchy does not float. It sinks. And without respect in the schools, you know, knowing that my principal could bust my butt probably kept me out of a few things. He swore he was going to do it. I never gave him the opportunity. I was awful little and he was awful big. Well, yeah. I just made sure I was sneakier. I said I never gave him the opportunity to do it. Gotta catch me. I didn't do really bad things. I was the spitwad guy, okay? If you ever got hit by a spitwad, well, it was... I'm stopping right here. I went to a veterans thing, the last Justin had it at the school. And I had to sit down behind a gal I went to school with, who's also a deputy. And I said, hey, you mind if we sit behind you? She said, yeah, I don't mind. Just don't hit me with any spitwads. It's like, oh, yeah, you were in study hall, weren't you? It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. She's also the one that made sure all my concealed carry stuff went through. All right, let's stand. You know, yes, sirs, yes, ma'ams, they go a long way. Showing proper respect, holding doors open. I don't care. If you know a feminist, open the door. Make them happy. Just doing it out of respect. You want respect, right? That's what it started out about. You know that, right? Started out about respect. And now women want to be men. Are you serious? You don't want to be a man. It takes away your specialness. Really? You want a hairy chest? Do you want it? I was getting ready to say, do you really want to have to shave your chin and pluck? But yeah, there's a few people that they have to deal with that. Yeah, I'm trying not to. My mouth just won't shut up, Phil. All right. But you understand. We have to still show respect. But we also have to honor Abraham as faith, a man of faith. In our lives and live godly lives. We live godly lives, we'll show that proper respect. But also don't let people take advantage of you. Huge difference between doing what's right and being taken advantage of. Because our pastor in North Carolina, she told us when we was working with her mother at a photography studio, her mother couldn't tell people no about doing weddings on Sundays. And we had to dig our heels in. I said, no, it's not an option. I think we did one or two the whole time we did them. But we said, no. Dug our heels in. She just couldn't say no to that. And her daughter said, Mom, people don't care about you. You've already worked 6 days. You need a break. And her mother had already had a mini stroke. She's still alive. Which we're going to try to plan a trip to go see her. But if you don't start respecting yourself, people won't respect you. You aren't a doormat. You aren't white trash. I don't care what your upbringing was. Quit seeing yourself as beneath everybody else. You're the children of God. You've been redeemed. And God doesn't redeem trash. And if you're my brother and sister, I don't view you as trash. I'll fight for you. And I don't fight over trash. There, you got it. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for your infinite, abounding love for us. Lord, I pray that you help us all as we walk the walk of respect towards you in our faith, that we learn to trust you more and more. Father, but also towards those around us, Father, that we show and we give proper respect to those to whom it is due, as your word tells us to give honor to whom it is due. So, Father, we will honor the police officers. We will honor our teachers. We will honor the judges. We will honor those in positions that have authority. Lord, we will honor our parents. We will honor those our elders. We will give up our seats, Father. We will teach our children to honor. We will teach our grandchildren to honor those. Father, we will teach them to honor the fallen. Lord, I thank you and I praise you that we can live in this country. That with all of its flaws, Lord, we still believe it is a great country. And now, Father, I thank you for these people. Lord, I know that they are people of honor. They are people of valor. Lord, the fact that they will serve you in this day and age when it is easier just to walk away and say, I will just go off grid. Father, I thank you for them. Thank you for their bravery. Lord, I pray that you bless them now in Jesus' name. Amen. I ran off left.